All right, let's talk about your weather. Tom Skilling is joining us, and we're so happy he is, sponsored by PermaSeal Basement Systems. Tom, how the heck are you?
I'm fine, Anna. How are you? Happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday. So yesterday, Monday afternoon, I was on the air, and we were starting to get calls and texts from listeners talking about the snow falling in northern Illinois. A couple had a student out in University of Iowa. They said they were getting, like, a lot of it. Kind of an interesting little phenomenon there.
Oh, yeah. They had 5 inches at Cedar Rapids. Some areas had up to 8 inches of snow out in Iowa. You know, Anna, I was sent a picture out in Savannah, Illinois, out on the Mississippi. That's kind of halfway between Dubuque and the Quad Cities. And a young fellow out there had built his first snowman from the snow.
Oh.
Rockford had snow yesterday. I had a call from my Tribune artist who works out of home these days. And she said, Tom, I'm up here in McHenry County at Woodstock, and we've got flurries coming down here. So I'm telling you, but it's a little early. We figure our first flakes of snow here in Chicago fall on or about the 30th of October, but it's that time of the year. And they've got advisories out for accumulating shovelable snow up in Minneapolis today.
Wow.
So the North Woods that was hit with snow over the weekend as well, up by Rhinelander and Eagle River, areas like that, they've got more snow on the way. So we're off to a rip-roaring start up in the North Woods country.
Is this early, Tom? I can't place it. Is it early or not? Is this what we normally see?
Yeah, it is. It's a little bit early this year, no question about it.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, you know, before anybody gets too worried about the winter ahead, one fact that's interesting, we combed through the stats, and we found that 60% of the winters that follow the warm summer, which ours was, are themselves warmer than normal, so it doesn't necessarily reflect on the winter coming up, although this winter may be an interesting one because we've got a La Nina going on in the equatorial Pacific, and winters tend to be kind of volatile in the Midwest when you've got something like that going on. So it'll be an interesting season to see. You know, Anna, with snow down and more on the way up in the northern plains, the northern Rockies, we've actually got the first single-digit low temperatures forecast up through Montana and the Dakotas and all. Single-digit readings, that's pretty early for that kind of cold coming up by the end of the week. On the other hand, we're going to go up to 70 on Thursday afternoon. We're going to have a warm front go through with some showers and thunderstorms in the morning. So we'll get a little brief encounter with warm spring, almost summer-like weather later this week.
You know, last we spoke, Tom, you did mention, and it seemed highly unlikely, but you did mention that there was a 97% chance, I believe, that we were going to get a 70 or above between then and November 1st. And sure enough, it's coming this week. Thursday is going to be the great day of the week, I think.
Yeah, and you know what, Anna, we went and updated those stats because we've moved a little farther into the future. So I was wondering, having moved a little farther into October, let's revisit the stats and find out, you know, how many years have produced the 70s. So it turns out about 83% of years produce a 70-degree temperature between now and the opening 2 weeks in November. And about 20% of years produce another 80, or have in the past. And we have 150 years we're looking at, going back to 1871, because our records here in Chicago go back to the Chicago Fire. So that's why we refer to, you know, the record that goes back to 1871. We had records before that, but some of them burned up in the Great Chicago Fire.
Makes sense. So, repeat that, though. You said 83% chance that we'll get a 70 or more through the opening weeks of November. What was it, at 80 or higher? Was what percentage chance?
About a 19% chance, 20% for all intents and purposes. So not quite as great a chance of an 80 yet, but it could happen. It happens in 1 year out of five, roughly. Figure it that way, Anna.
We do
from this point before winter settles in.
I like it. I like our chances. Another 70 would be nice before, you know, things take a turn, and that's be awfully nice. Hey, Tom, I got a question from a listener for you. You sort of touched on this, but can you field this one, please? It's 815 says, question for Tom Skilling, Anna. With all the smoke from the wildfires, do we expect a colder winter Just maybe elaborate on that a little more.
Well, you know, that's an interesting question, because there's no question that smoke blocks sunlight. And when you get a smoke, even a lot, you can't have an impact. I don't know, Anna, that we should make a lot out of the winter weather, because I don't think the effect of that smoke would be that far-reaching. It tends to, over the areas it travels, to block some of the sunlight and lower the temperature several degrees. I mean, I'm sure there were a couple of days where we would have been about 5 degrees warmer, and with all that smoke, we knocked it down. But I think more important for the winter, and by the way, the fires will be under control as we head into winter. This terrible Cameron Peak fire out in Colorado, the worst they've ever had, is terrible. It's still burning. It's burned over 200,000 acres all by itself. It's the largest fire ever in Colorado. And when you follow the smoke plume off that, it moves just south of us. It's going across the southern Midwest, but more so the southern plains and into the Gulf states. But, you know, I noticed they've got that 69% under control, but there's a lot of it's burning out of control still. It was moving in on Estes Park. There was concern about the smoke going over Boulder north of Denver. Denver had air quality issues. They've had a terrible fire season all through the West. And you know something else, Anna? They had a beetle kill that took out a lot of their, and that's true over Western North America. And this beetle kill took out a lot of pines and other trees. And so they sit there dead, and they're fuel for these fires. So you add drought and extreme heat to the fact there's all this standing dead timber out there, and you get these terrible fires to burn. Bad story out there.
It has been a bad story out there. You said largest ever wildfire in Colorado. We've had some of the worst wildfires in California, and that's quite the records to beat as well. 2020 has not been kind. If we can put in one request, Tom Skilling, you are closer to the weather gods than anyone else we know. We don't need any more big weather events.
No.
Let's try to end it calmly this year. It'd be nice.
And it's absolutely true. You know, we've had a lot of named tropical storms, hurricanes and tropical storms making landfall. About 10 of them have hit the United States. That's way more than normal. Yeah, the one fortunate thing, and one of my colleagues works over at Aon Insurance and does analysis of this, I noticed tweeted out that we're lucky these storms hit, lucky, if you will, maybe the wrong term, but we're fortunate that these storms went into lower population areas. They've caused havoc where they've gone ashore, and for folks there, our hearts go out to them. But, you know, had these hit major metropolitan areas where you had heavy population concentrations, the degree of damage and death and injury would have been far greater than what has actually ended up happening. We've probably suffered about $20 billion in losses, which is, you know, horrendous.
Yeah.
But it could have been multiples of that, you know, up over $100, $200 billion had it hit more populated areas. So, you know, knock on wood for that, at least.
Yeah, knock on wood for that. Hey, Tom, can you hang on just a second? We have to go to check on the roads with Mary Vandeveld. And then I want to ask you, looking out toward Halloween, what things are looking at? I know things aren't perfect that far out, but if you can just give us an idea, that'd be great. All right, back with Tom Skilling. Hey, Tom, I know we're looking far out now. It's, I don't know, how many days is it? A week from Saturday is Halloween.
Yeah.
But it's on our minds, and I don't know what the modeling shows or what you can even tell us at this point, but how does Halloween look?
Well, you know, we get regularly forecasts out to 16 days. At the end of that period, the day-to-day accuracy of models diminishes, but we can look at trends. Here's what we're seeing, Anna. We've got some warm air Thursday, Friday this week. It will turn noticeably cooler later Friday. Then we go into a cool spell that will continue through the week going up to Halloween. So next week's going to be a cool affair. I'm looking at the latest forecast for Halloween itself. I don't see any big storms in this area at that time. There's a high pressure supposed to be coming down. So it looks like a cool Halloween, but not one where we have driving horizontally falling rain, you know, and gale winds like we had a number of years ago.
Or last year it was snow, Tom. We had the snow.
Yeah, it can happen. Remember that year, too, where the Bears were playing and we had that plane go down. It iced up over Indiana. It was a terror, and the rain was coming down horizontally. It was cold and miserable, and there was a Bears game going on at the time, too. Nothing like that in sight at this point for Halloween. I think just cool is the word. And by that, I'm talking about probably highs in the 50s, and nighttime lows, which would be in the upper 30s, low 40s. We'll obviously refine that, Anne, as we get closer to it.
But that's how it's looking now. And not would you be surprised if we had snow again this year, Tom?
Yeah, I would. Based on what I'm seeing here, it looks cool, but I don't see the system that would produce snow. Now, that give us a chance to look at that as the days go ahead, because we're looking at something that's well over a week away. But I don't see snow right now for Halloween.
Good.
So, that might make the trick-or-treaters happy.
That would.
I wonder how trick-or-treating is going to proceed this year with all this COVID-19 concern.
Funny you should ask, Tom. Over the weekend, me and my 8-year-old, we made one of those PVC tubes that you do the social distancing with the candy. You shoot the candy down there. And I was in the PVC aisle of Menards for the very first time in my entire life. And I picked out, the pipe, and I got a little elbow at the end so that it doesn't smack the kid in the face. Instead, it goes, turns at the end and goes into their trick-or-treat bag. And I got to tell you, we had a lot of fun just decorating that thing. And it's, this is what you do. This is what you do.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we're all kind of, making it all up as we go along. There's no question about that. But, that's very cool.
Yeah,
so you've given me an insight I would otherwise not have had, Anna. That's very cool.
Well, I can't take credit for it. We had listeners calling into the show weeks ago who were already creating these things. Honestly, before I had seen it anywhere, and I've seen it on Channel 9. You guys have interviewed some folks and the things that they're doing to try to create a socially distanced Halloween and still make it fun for kids, even though it's challenging. But it's people are figuring it out. I saw one dad who's doing who created a zip line, and he's got this ghost that brings the candy down to the kids. It's like people are getting creative.
You know what? You've got to take your hat off to folks. The creativity just doesn't stop.
No, it doesn't.
I think that's very cool. Yeah, I know what you mean, Anna. I've seen a couple of the pieces we've run on that, so that's why I was wondering. But now I've actually heard from a mom. So, let's hope the weather cooperates, as it looks like it might. It looks just a little cool, but at this point, we don't see a mammoth storm or anything like that for Halloween, so let's keep our fingers crossed.
773, Skilling for president. Would you ever run for president, Tom Skilling?
Oh, gosh. Heaven help the country if that ever were to happen. I'll tell you that.
Oh, I think you'd be a great candidate, Tom.
Oh, I'll tell you something. I would fear for the country if that happened. But I how sweet of people to suggest that. Stranger things have been known to happen, but I believe me, Anna, I don't think that things will get that strange.
No ambitions there, Tom. None for you at all?
No.
No.
So
well,
I'm happy watching Mother Nature doing what Mother Nature does. It's too exciting to leave this line of work.
Yeah, well, we need you in the weather, so that's absolutely the right answer to that question. Hey, I did see something national forecasters predicting, and I don't know if this goes back to the La Nina conversation we had earlier, but drought more likely than blizzards this winter. Is that what you're thinking here?
Well, that's true in the West. When you look at the drought analysis, we have something called the Drought Monitor, which is kind of like the seminal assessment of drought in the country. But the West is in terrible shape. Let's hope this wet season coming up provides moisture. But the fear is that many La Nina winters don't do that. They don't produce the same number of storms. So the concern is that the drought will continue out there and will go into the next fire season, although there's not really much demarcation between these anymore. It almost seems like the whole year is vulnerable to drought or to fire out west. But for us, typically La Nina winters produce a bias toward above normal precipitation. Hard to say whether that'll be rain or snow, because it will depend on the storm tracks that lay out. And oftentimes a winter's character in terms of snowfall depends on one or two storms and the track they follow. And, storms produce a heavy snow band that's maybe 100 miles wide. So it will depend on where these storms go and where they lay down their precip. But also, there's a bias toward near or slightly above normal temperatures in Chicago, though you can get some embedded Arctic outbreaks. It's just that when you average it out across the whole season, you wind up a little above normal. So slightly above normal on precip here, and above normal on near normal to maybe slightly above normal on temperature would be the outlook for Chicago.
And then the next few days, just kind of topsy-turvy. It sounds like a little bit of everything. We were going from 40s today, which felt kind of a little chilly this morning when I woke up.
Yes.
But then it moves to 70s, and then we cool off, what, the weekend?
Yes, yes. In fact, on Friday, it'll be a day of falling temperatures, but we'll have started the day Friday morning warm enough that there might even be a thunderstorm on a cold front that goes through, certainly a couple of showers. And then the temperatures will fall, so we could have our high on Friday after a 74 on Thursday. We could be up around 68 for a high Friday morning, and then see temperatures tumble to the low 50s by evening rush hour, and then stay around 50 over the weekend, many hours in the 40s. So a cool weekend coming up, and there's a wet weather system that could rain on us with some wind later Sunday night, and then we'll pull out of here with colder air in its wake on Monday next week. That's kind of the way things are looking now.
All right, Tom. Well, you take care, and we'll get to talk to you again next Tuesday, right? Our Tuesdays with Tom segment.
Yes!
Next week.
I look forward to that, Anna. Always great talking to you. I don't know whether you heard Maddie barking to say hello in the background.
Maddie? So, is it Maddie, did you say?
Yes, Maddie. Little Madison. Yes.
One of your three dogs. You three dogs, Tom? Or you?
No, we had to. We lost Kelly,
Irish
terrier.
Oh, my gosh. I'm
Kelly
sorry.
Had a stroke. But we've got little Maddie. She's adorable. And we've had her for 12 years now. And we've got little Waldo, the kitty, who we got at 5 weeks old. He's now a grown young man and a lovely little kitty.
Well, hi to Maddie, hi to Waldo, and maybe they can join us next Tuesday and participate a little more. It'd be fun to talk to them, too.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, good to talk to you, Anna. You have a great day and stay safe and healthy.
You too, Tom. Back at you. Thank you.
Thanks, Anna.